Marcus Sahaba, the voice of Ahl Sunnah wal Jamaah.
What's up, people? The time of the morning where we join an award winner who's been recognized for his community services. And alhamdulillah, he's someone that walks the talk and has been with us on this platform for many years. And alhamdulillah, very popular indeed on his slot. Straight Talk with Councillor Ahmad Parak. Ahmad, assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. We embrace you, we celebrate you, and we know that your attitude of gratitude, alhamdulillah, hearts have turned towards you. How are you doing this fine, beautiful Sunday morning, Ahmad?
Wa alaikum salam wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh, Shafaat. Alhamdulillah, Allah blessed us with another beautiful Sunday morning. Alan and salam to all our radio listeners, wherever they are, Shafaat. Alhamdulillah, Allah blessed us today, Shafaat.
No doubt. And tell me, lift it up. Let me see that recognition to Ahmad. Show it to the listeners, Ahmad. Talk to us about that evening. And, everyone embraced you and celebrated you. Talk to us, Ahmad.
Shabbat, alhamdulillah, I was nominated by Razak Musa of Willerton Oil on about 2-3 months ago. That with the community work I do, there was a community slot from the Minara Chamber of Commerce. They had a community service award, community builders award. And alhamdulillah, he nominated me. I was not even aware that I'm going to be getting this prize for on Friday evening and then this award. And then alhamdulillah, when people told me that this award was well long overdue. You needed this thing long ago. But you know what? Allah does everything in a mysterious way. So alhamdulillah, the confidence the community got in me and whatever I do only for the pleasure of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And Allah has blessed me with this beautiful award that I received on from the Minara Chamber of Commerce on a Friday evening, Shabbat.
Brilliant indeed. And now moving on to Kafan Dafan, now getting to the world of reality. What's the latest there, Ahmad?
Shafaat, in the last day and a half, say 2 days, I've been undated with especially the issues that we have in the mortuaries at the moment. To get bodies. I did one on Friday, virtually took me the whole entire day, but I managed to get that body out. It was a gunshot. I managed to get that body up. We buried the deceased late Friday evening. Then on early part of Saturday morning, Ali Fas, he lost his mother. It was 91 years old at Musgrave. We made a janaza namaz. Yesterday evening, G.H. Bana passed away when he just came back from Umrah, and he passed away at the airport, and he had a massive heart attack, and he passed away. We buried him last night at about 11:30, 12 o'clock at Hilal. So, and there's now in my building where I stay in Winter Avenue, Shoaib Musa's son, Dawood, is about 15, 16 years old. He had some heart complications previously, and he passed away early part of this morning. The janaza salat is at the Musgrave Masjid at 3 o'clock this afternoon. And Allah may give him Jannatul Firdaus, fill his kabar with noon, and give the family and especially the parents sabr for losing a youngster at a prime age of 15 years. Shabbat.
Allah make it easy for all those that are, having challenges, Ahmad. And also, this message on the screen says, Assalamu alaikum, Ahmad Parak, congratulations. You deserve the award, but Allah will give you a better reward, inshallah. I want to know, Ahmad, what's the latest in the mortuaries? I believe our mortuaries are compromised, and the ANC government should be held responsible for this debacle when it comes to even the people cannot die in peace, but they're going to pieces. How do you respond to that message there, Ahmad?
At the moment, we have a huge problem in the country in terms of even people are phoning me from Cape Town. I'm fighting with a very close friend of mine, who is Dr. Ali, who is the head at the Salt River Mortuary there in Cape Town. They've got a queuing system. So whether you are a Muslim, not Muslim, or whoever it is, they have a queuing system. And sometimes Muslim bodies, you get it like 48 hours. We have got a policy, if it comes in at 7 in the morning before 6, it must come out if it's a Muslim body. And that is a standing order in terms of right of religion, right of culture in the constitution. We are exercising that. I'm going to take this thing up very, very seriously now, because we are compromising the issue that, you know, what is embossed for us from the old apartheid government, a standing order. Now, why are they, you know, they have been doing it previously. Now it is becoming a problem. And some of the communities are saying, why the Muslim bodies are coming out quicker than they have also got rights and all that. So at the end of the day, so this is an issue that we are going to take it very, very serious. When it comes to the mortuaries, you know, the government attitude and the Department of Health attitude is they rather put money for the living than the dead. So that is the problem that we are faced with. And if you go, I don't blame the attendants, the workers at the mortuary to go on strike, because they are falling sick. So at the end of the day, the bacteria level is so high in mortuary, it's unbelievable. And even if I go, I'd normally put two masks now, because that's how bad it is. And if you've got low resistance, you're in trouble. You might pick up hepatitis, or you'll have to go to a hospital yourself. That's how bad it is. People are falling sick. Doctors, you know, the guy, each doctor is allocated anything from 3 to 4 bodies he can only do for the day. They have been compromised. They're doing like 6 and 7 bodies a day, and they're falling sick themselves. From 4 doctors, we only got 2 doctors. We have got a backlog of about 40, 50 bodies sometime on a day, 2 days. And you can't even catch it. You can't catch up. It's virtually impossible. So there's a problem that we are faced with. We're taking it up with the Department of Health, which I don't know what can be done, because there is no money to start off with. And the hospitals are in a bad shape. They need money for the hospital as well. So this is the problem that we are faced with. Now, end of the day, there's not much anybody can do. We just have to fight on a day-to-day battle, like what I did on Friday. Fought from 7 in the morning right till just after time, like about 5 o'clock, and I managed to get that body out. That's the only thing we can do, Shafan.
Now, well done there, Ahmed. Looking at another message here, and it says, Tahir says, Assalamu alaikum, Ahmed Parak. Pardon me for being a bit direct, but I want to know what is the salary of grave diggers and those that take care of the Kabristan? Please, Ahmed, if we could, as public, help, I'm prepared to come forward. How do you respond to Tahir? What's the salary of a grave digger and caretaker of the Kabristan, Ahmed?
Shafat, a grave digger gets anything from 4,000 to 5,000 to 6,000 rand, depending on where he's situated and, you know, how many. You know, it all boils down to how many graves he digs for a month, and that's number one. How big is the cemetery? If you take, like, Islamic Burial Council, like, we're controlling, like anything between 10 and 12 cemeteries. So, and you got a big workforce, about 8 staff and 2 supervisors. So that is it. So, but the beauty part is, alhamdulillah, you know, our community, when it comes to that dafan kafan work, they don't feel shy. They give the money. And furthermore, what we paying the staff, they get a lot of monies from the community. You know, they go on a Friday to go make dua at the Kabristan. They get a lot of people give them 100 rand. Some of them give them 50 rand, 200 rand. So, you know, on the whole, they make a lot of money from on a monthly basis, leaving alone the 2 Eids. Now, on the 2 Eids, I know when I was still the chairman of Islamic Burial Council, one or two staff of mine, we were collecting anything like between 2,500 to 3,000 rand on the Eid day alone. So, you know, they get paid because people work hard and they'll give them. So this is where we give, that's the actual salary base it is. And we cover them for medical aid, and because, you know, when they fall sick or anything like that. And if they fall sick, we got doctors and all that will be able to take them and assist them.
This question, same by Tahir again. He says, my second question is, what's the salary of a hearse driver? Or do you have people volunteering to drive your hearse, Ahmed Bharat? Ahmed, hearse drivers?
Shafat, the hearse drivers, nobody gets paid. None of them. All are on voluntary. And, you know, each burial society will have about 5 or 6, and they go, they say, they put them on a roster basis, you know, that weekend. You know, people, they also got family life and everything. So then they say, okay, this weekend, yeah, from Friday to Sunday, you take cover, and then the midweek, we do it on a roster basis, you know. So, you know, alhamdulillah, so they got the manpower to assist. And sometimes you need a bigger break, so people will fill in the gap and all that. So when it comes to that, I don't think we are going to have a shortage or anything. The fee sabilillah is 100% voluntary.
Well, Ahmed, you know, alhamdulillah. So in other words, most of the hearse drivers have another job also.
They work there, yes, Shafat. There is, we got some retired people that they're not working or anything. When you're a hearse driver, only when there's an emergency, when you got a call out, then only. But sometimes you might get two, maybe sometimes on a day, or sometimes the whole week you don't have any. So, you know, it is all depending on Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala when he's calling that person to take him parada from this dunya, then only you get a call out. Other than that, you don't get a call out. It's not like the tow truck business or anything. They wait for, they run for that and all that. There's no such thing in Islam for us.
So each hearse driver, you know, needs to be embraced and celebrated because he's there on a selfless basis, and he's purely there for the sawab, Ahmed.
100%. You know, a lot of people were saying, you know what, we want to come, we want to assist. When we bring them into our organization and our various services, they come 1 week, and when they go and pick up the mortuary bodies and they go and pick up the bodies from hospitals and all that, they say, no, they, you know, you need a stomach for this, in other words, in layman's language. You must be made for this because, you know what, you got blood sometime, you got even in natural causes, some people bring up and all that, you know, you'll have all these things. So, you know, you need to be strong at it. You know, you can't just come in there and say, you know, you'll be able to, because a lot of people came and they ran faster than they came, Shabbat.
Just gone 8:06 Central African Time. Yes, it's your morning show, Consciously Connected. The segment with Ahmed Paraki, Straight Talk. And getting into Straight Talk, your comments on the news, Ahmed?
Shabbat, that South Korean, the Halloween. Why they call it Hello? You see, if the name alone talk for itself, and see how many people have lost their stampede day, how many people have lost their lives, and how many are injured in that. This is what, you know, things like that you create. This is all a money-making scheme. It is a marketing strategy in all these countries, and then you see people get hurt like this. That's why they got Halloween, you know. So this is a big problem that we face all over, because it is orchestrated, making money from all these. They'll sell garments, they do a whole lot of things just to orchestrate these things to make money. And then, you know, the grain that from Ukraine, you know, if Russia put a block to it, you know, it affects that throughout the world, because they are the major grain manufacturing in is grown there. A lot of grain is being exported from Ukraine. And, you know, I can't understand, the whole world will jump for Palestine. They won't jump for Palestine, but the whole world is jumping for Ukraine now. You know, this is, you know, you can see how the playing field is unlevel. Now, you know, if you go to the United Nations to say about this year, they'll fight for them. But tell them to fight for the Palestinian people and the Kashmiri people, what is happening there. They won't do anything so far. This is the problem that, you know, everything is unjust, and the playing fields are not level. So, you know, it's a problem. Then the earthquake in Joburg, 4.2, it's a massive 4.2, you know, you'll have a lot of damage, but alhamdulillah, I don't think that a lot of people have got hurt or anything like that. Then the Palestine, the people are, you know, they're demolishing the house, and, you know, this is an ongoing thing in Palestine, you know. There's nothing nobody can do. The whole world is silent on these issues like this, Shafat.
Yeah, but, you know, a brilliant observation. Then you look at the racism, the rife racism in Europe. I mean, Britain, how they're welcoming the Ukrainians. You got blue eyes, blonde hair, white skin. Their doors are open. Even the Americans are all opening up. Wherever you are, hey, welcome, welcome. You know, you're from our flock. Welcome. I mean, this issue. But no one learns about it, Ahmed. No one learns. People just turn a blind eye. And these are the people that you go to for help. You go to the IMF, which is a racist organization. You go to America, racist. You go to the UK. You go to Britain. Europe, in bold letters, they are racist, Ahmed. Your comments?
Yeah, this is what I see. The playing fields are always unlevel. They don't, they don't see with two eyes. They only see with whatever suits them, they will take. What it doesn't suit them, and they leave it out. And this is where we, if you take our Muslim countries in the world, Shafat, we don't need nobody, Shafat. Nobody. We don't need anyone, the superpowers of the world, Russia, you don't need America, you don't need Europe, you don't need no one. We will be self-sufficient because Allah has blessed us with everything. They will be on our feet. Allah has blessed us with the oil, blessed us with everything you can say, Shafat. But because we're not united, and we got we're giving in to the West, and we're following the West, and they're taking advantage of this whole nature. And if Allah gives all these Middle Eastern countries hidayat, that they need to start uniting themselves, then only we will be successful in this world, Shafat.
Absolutely. Looking at a message here, Ashraf J says, Assalamu alaikum, Ahmed Parak, Shafat Ahmed Khan, and Marcus Sahaba. Lovely show indeed. I want to tell Ahmed that Alhamdulillah, I have quite a few buildings in the beachfront area, and every December I bring all my family members from Joburg to Durban. But this year I am quite afraid, because I believe the whole of Durban is infected with E. coli, and I want to know, can I bring family members? Will it be safe? Or what are you all doing, Ahmed, to keep Durban clean, so that we can come to our parks of Durban, and inshallah, before we used to even read our salah on the sea shores. But now I know it's bad. Please, Ahmed, try and reassure us, because I love Durban, but now I'm getting the gabrats. How do you respond to Ashraf Jay there, Ahmed?
Very, very good question, Shafat. Number one, let me tell our listeners, from tomorrow, Tongat will be, we will be able to get the tap water back on from tomorrow. That's a very, very good news, because they brought people from all over the country to assist, because we were only supposed to have got tap water for the people of Tongat only in the early part of New Year, but they have short-circuit that, they put more people there, they have put all the new pumps. So from tomorrow, inshallah, that we were promised from the mayor of the city, that from tomorrow the water will be on. That's the good news. As far as the colleagues concerned, Shafat, the raw sewage is going into the sea. They're doing 7 beaches of ours is already closed. They're doing a day-to-day test and to see which beach they can open and which they cannot reopen. Yes, there's a major problem at the moment. We, Action SA, have taken this matter very, very seriously. We have given the city 14 days in terms of the law. You have to give 14 days notice before you even go to court. We are going by the 10th of November. We will go to the High Court, bring an urgent application to force the city, because in terms of the act, they have to, things like this has to, because now it's also going to affect the whole tourism industry. All the hotels are going to, they haven't got any bookings. Normally, around about September, October, the hotels are already pre-booked for the December holidays. So that is, and the brother wants to come down with his family also. But inshallah, I'm confident before the end of November, this whole issue will be sorted out, and they are working towards it. And we were promised 1 billion from national government. We didn't get a 1 cent towards the flood disaster we had recently. So that has compounded all our problems here in the city. But we are going full steam to make sure that our tourists come to our shores. And if you take the sea away from Durban, nobody is going to come to Durban. So this is the only thing that we have got here in the city, that our beaches are beautiful beaches. We got people come from all over the world, all over the country, especially for our beach and the facilities we have got in Durban. So inshallah, I'm confident via the government too, we will take them on. And I think by bringing that application to High Court, it will force them, and we will, within 14, 15 days, we will get it up and running, Shafa.
Looking at this message, it says, Assalamu alaikum, Chef and Munro. Hey, I'm a beach boy. I listen to y'all. I don't know, give my name because our town knows, you know how they are. And he says, Ahmad, I want to know that counselor, the former counselor that was shot dead, was he shot by his own ANC members? Because ANC is killing each other off. I want to know, because that guy was a lacquer O. Ahmad, how do you respond to one of our beach boys here?
Shafat, that is an ongoing investigation. He is, that ex-counselor was in business too, and there is some business transaction when Sauer there. I don't know whether it was with the ANC or whoever the business was, and I'm not sure. Something is very, very, the matter is sub judice at the moment. So, you know, me, I'm, as a counselor, you know, we swear an oath in council that some of the information we have, we cannot reveal this to the public or anything at this stage. Yeah. The matter is sub judice at the moment. So the matter is with a special investigation unit. I think in the next week or in the next 10 days, we will be getting some good news what actually transpired in the loss of that ex-counselor, Shafat.
Assalamu alaikum, Ahmad Tariq, and congratulations. I want to know from you, why is there's so much of infighting between the mayor and the deputy mayor and councillors in the Itikweni? Surely these guys are holding back progress for our municipalities. And if you look around the country, all our municipalities are compromised because these guys are there more for the money than for the people. Please, Ahmad, address this issue at the highest level. Ahmad?
Shafat, firstly, the deputy mayor is not an ANC man. He's got his own party, ABC. That's number one. The mayor of the city is an ANC guy. He's been elected as the mayor from the full council. You know, unfortunately, we cannot do anything to uplift the councillor because ANC has got 96 seats, and then they got a block, which is the block is made up of all the small parties. And that's what, even now, you will see the ANC and they are going to be funding the smaller parties. Because what will happen in the 2024 election, they know they don't have chance and they're going to lose ground. So what they do is they will make sure you form a party. And even if they get the two, three seats, and they form that block, and they still want to be in power. That's what they're trying to do. We are aware of it. And you know what? We're going all out. Action SA is going all out. And the other parties are also going all out to make sure to unseat the ANC and give service delivery to the community and the beautiful city of South Africa. So this is the problem that we are faced with at the moment. That you will have infighting in every municipality. We have a problem in Joburg. We got a problem there. You know, the mayor was outvoted. She went to court. She won that thing. Now they bring a vote of non-confidence against her again. So you know, these things will carry on because ANC power hungry. They want to make sure that they hold on to power. And you know what? It's a very old party. You know, for many years. But unfortunately, the people who are there are the problem because they are not delivering what they suppose. The mandate of the voter was to deliver and service delivery for this community and the people of South Africa, Shafat.
Ghaffar says, Assalamu alaikum, Ahmad. Suddenly, there's no pipe bursting, nothing's happening, everything looks normal. I feel that this pipe bursting and all was all orchestrated, so these guys that are working at Itikweni were making double, treble money for themselves. If that is true, we should charge them all criminally. And point number two, Ahmad, is why is all this different court cases that are against municipal workers taking so long? Is the ANC protecting them? Please advise accordingly. Salams, Ghaffar. Your response, Ahmad?
Shafar, the first question, Ghaffar, why he's saying all the pipes are bursting and all. The pipes will still be bursting. There's a lot of places they still don't have water. The pipes are bursting, but they are working 24/7. What we have done is we brought people and we hired more people. And we are saying we don't want outsourcing. We want in-house. So if it's in-house, we can protect that in-house. So that's what we are. The second question was, Shafar?
the second question they wanted to, what was it? Boniface took it out of the screen now. I can't see it. All right, we'll get it. We'll get it back. But let me read. There's another question on the screen there. It says, Assalamu alaikum, Ahmad. We want to know if rates and taxes are going up all the time and we're making applications and we're still not getting response. Why is it that we do not get response? Ahmad, your take?
Okay. All right. The second question I just remembered now. Why the cases of all these people are being charged is not coming before court.
Oh, yes.
The SIU, Special Investigating Unit, has been in place there. They work directly under the auspices of the Shamila Botoy from the prosecuting authority. And these matters, it sometimes Shafat can take up to 18 months to 3 years. You know, we have to get a proper investigation, has to be done, proper documentation. You know, there's a paper trail you need to follow from the time when all this corruption that took place and all. So it takes very, very long, and then it has to go, they have to hire accountants, they have to hire additional advocates, additional lawyers to assist in cases like that, because that's the only thing. Otherwise, it'll go to court and it'll get thrown out. So that is the problem, Shafat. And you know, there's not much you can do. As far as your rates and taxes is concerned, you do an application, it can take anything from 1 year to 12 months to 18 months, because the committee then decides whether your application is right, number one. Secondly, they do the comparison in terms of the new rates has been put into place and what were you paying in the old rate. Yes, I do concede, and some of them are heavily loaded, and if you do the right paperwork, you will get credited for it. So if the brother has the father, or whoever the brother brought the question through and yes, did the proper application before the 30th of June, if it's a commercial property, if it's done 30th of June, is free. And if he went out of the prescribed period of 30th of June, he paid 640 rand, he still can do a claim now to say, you know what, there's my statements for 2021. Now it is 2022. It can't go by 18% or 40% or whatever it is. You do your comparison. You send it. You do your application and pay that money in. And they have to write to you and say, there's it here. This is how we have assessed it. Then if you're not happy, then you can come through to me. I will also help you. I've got a person that works solely for rate an assessment, and then we can put an objection as well, Shafat.
I tell you, people, the brains of Ahmad, Allah has blessed him, he kept it. You know what, whenever the messages are coming, and you know, on the screen, it gets higher and higher, because there's so many messages, Ahmad, that your last message goes right on top, I can't see it. But Alhamdulillah, you kept it in your brain, because you know, when you on Straight Talk, come and look at the screen, Ahmad. I can't even see that other question, I can't say, because it's gone right into the... Yeah, into the seventh heaven. Looking at this message, it says, Assalamu alaikum, Ahmad. Alhamdulillah, a great show indeed, and you really keep us informed. I want to tell you, Ahmad, I have already secured a lovely place in Durban. I fenced it, and I was deciding to come down from London and to stay there. But I believe it's been vandalized, and the fencing has been taken. And the law enforcement tell us they can't do anything about it because crime is rampant. What do we do, Ahmad? Because we are now afraid to leave London to come to Durban. How do you respond to brother Ahmad?
Shafat, that brother from London, I think he's much better off here in South Africa than in London, number one. Number two, even a burial, there's no weekend Muslim burial in London, I was told recently. Number three, you cannot leave your house, you do your whole house, you put your fencing and everything. If there's nobody there, then you have a problem. Like you put a tag there, come and take me. So if you do that, people will find an opportunity to come and take the things from there, Shafat.
Yeah, you make a very valid point indeed. Because these people are watching you. They come and they shout from your gate, Ahmad, Ahmad. No response. They come another 2 hours, they do the same thing. And then they catch on, there's no one in this house. And there's a move in. What happens then, Ahmad? You know, recently we heard a story in one of the suburbs in the South Coast where these individuals jumped over the fence and they were swimming in the pool. And when the owners came and said, what are you doing here? They said, oh, we thought the place was abandoned. And they virtually got away, Ahmed. What do you do then?
Shafa, this is it. You know, you have to have alarm, proper alarm system. You know, today's day and age, you know, a brother came to the masjid the other day and he's got a Fortuner. He parked it on the road. The entire masjid, and it was early in the morning, Shafa. The mosque was, the parking in the basement and the top floor was empty, and there must be about maybe three or four cars. I told that brother, you see, you got a Fortuner. You got so much of parking. If yours is a Fortuner, why don't you bring it inside here? Why don't you put a tag there? Take me. Just now, somebody will come and take your car away from here, UNF. And they want Fortuners because they'll send it across the border. Then he said, hey, thank you very much, my brother. So he brought it inside. Now, you know, if you know it's a high-risk area and if it's a high-risk vehicle, you must take precaution. You can't say going into the stop street and all with your windows open and everything, and your wife is sitting there and you leave your handbag in the back seat. You're inviting them to come and do whatever they have to do. Shafat, this is it. That's the reason why you need a proper alarm in your vehicle. You make sure, like in my case, whenever I lock my car, I alarm it. I always check with the door because now, with, you know, they got this new gadget and everything. They can even open your door. But once you alarm your car and you check your doors are locked, make sure it's locked and then walk away. And when they see that, they say, no, they got no chance here, Shafat. About 7 months ago, a doctor at the masjid, he came, he parked it in three, you know, we got churches there, we got church parkings there. The guy came and parked his car, it's a Toyota. The guys were about hot wiring that vehicle, and one of my car guards picked it up, and they said, hey, and they ran off. Now, the thing is this, he left his car open. Now, if you leave your car open, what he's telling you? Take me. This is what he's saying to you.
Yeah, Ahmed, it's a sad story indeed. I mean, you better, and if you've got secure parking, yeah. Sometimes they come in the parking lot and they do the job, Ahmed, and it's quite amazing. Looking at a message from Siddiq, he says, Assalamu alaikum, Ahmed Parak, Shafat Ahmed Khan, a lovely show indeed. Keep it up. He says, I want to know, we get a lot of invites after 6 p.m., but we can't take it, Ahmed, because of the fear factor of being hijacked or being robbed in the evening times. What do we do, Ahmed? The family members call us. It seems that we need to go with the security or with a army patrol, even when we are invited. Please, Ahmed, advise. When will this country come safe for us to even go and visit family or relatives or attend a function after 6 p.m.? Ahmed, that's a good question from Siddiq.
Shafat, that brother can go and visit anytime. I go out alone sometime in the night and I come home alone. And you know what? Sleep at night is relatively safe. But you must take precaution. Go meet your family. Make sure who you're meeting to. You park your car properly in the yard. Make sure you alarm your vehicle. Your wife, you walking. You don't walk. If you're going with your family, make sure your family all walk together. No, you don't have a problem. You're not hearing all these things that you know what, it's happening so much in the night. Yes, there is an increase from June. I was reading the stats yesterday. From June to the end of October, 5,820 vehicles were hijacked in the country this year. Now, there's an increase of about 24% from year to year. You know, we work on a year-to-year basis. Yes, there is, because, you know, when the unemployment rate goes high, people are hungry and they find niche way of doing something. There's a lot of why this copper theft that came up with, they're stealing all this vehicle, they're breaking, looting. Why? Because the unemployment rate is high. That's number one. Secondly, the government do not have the personnel in the law enforcement. You put all these things in place, Shafat, I guarantee you, this is the safe haven of the world.
I tell you, Ahmed, you make a lot of sense. This is a safe haven of the world, you reckon, eh? Yeah, I like your optimism, and alhamdulillah, Allah keep you, Allah bless you. Perhaps your parting words this morning, Ahmed?
Shafat, you know, I have been in most countries in the world as well. Allah has blessed me. But you know what? Whatever you say, there is no place like South Africa. Take Deen, the most important is your deen. People come from Saudi Arabia to our ulums, yeah, to come learn here. Yet that is the mother tongue of their country. They're coming to learn here and they're becoming alims in our country. Take anything that is happening when it comes to deen. You cannot practice deen better in this country than anywhere else in the world, Shafan. This is the beauty of South Africa, Shafan.
Yeah, I like what you said. And as you said, you know, when Ahmadinejad, Rahimullah, source of reference, and they say, Junubi Africa, Durban, South Africa, Ahmadinejad, Nelson Mandela. Now they say, Ahmad Parak. Say, yeah, Ahmad Parak is from South Africa too, people. Ahmad, you know what? You're making great points. You've done, as you say, you know, a moment is a week for you. And Alhamdulillah, as you say, so Durban will be clean. One more message here. It says, Assalamu alaikum, Ahmad Parak. I really want to congratulate you and ask you, Ahmad Parak, there are so many vagrants and so many homeless people in this Durban. It's becoming more and more. What are you doing about them? How will you clean them out? And where are you going to give them places? Because all our civic centers have been captured and occupied by these people. They are very, very, very sharp. Ahmed, your response there?
Shafat, by the 15th of November, all civic centers, they have which is occupied, they have to make a plan to move all those people up, number one. All the vagrants are in areas when they are cleaning up, say they're cleaning up Brickfield Road, the vagrants, they're coming away to Musgrave. And when we start cleaning up at Musgrave, they will go to Warwick Avenue. This is what happens. So these things will take place. What we have done is, we demarcated the whole of Musgrave from North Ridge Road right up to Curry Road, from the freeway right up to Springfield Drive, Springfield Road. So we have taken it and we made it into four sections. So, and we are saying to the ratepayers, I mean all the ratepayers, the property owners, just give us 350 rand a year. That is 1 rand a day. And we are putting our own security cameras, people to clean the road, the pavement, do the pavements up, and we want to do it, and we'll have our own, with the city. The city will give us their manager. We will provide about 10 workers with the vehicle, and they will assist us, and that's the only way. And everyone, in every suburb, if you have a system like that, Chapa, one, you'll protect your area. Number two, no vagrants will come there. Number three, your security will be much tighter because those people are who is cleaning your roads and working for that area. They know, they're now keeping an eye on all these things for you. That is the way to go, Shafan.
Well, Ahmed, as I said, a beautiful morning with you. Maybe your parting words once again.
JazakAllah for everything and all those brothers that, you know, sent me a, you know, my phone was like, I had to charge it about four times yesterday because, you know, the amount of message that has come, you know, I didn't know that I had such a good following with the radio station and all over. People are phoning them. I'm getting calls from London and Australia, Canada. People are phoning me, congratulating me for this award. You know, Allah, make shukr to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala that, you know what, they chose me because I'm doing the work, Shafat. You know, if I was not doing the work, then you're not going to get anything. And my aim and object is, inshallah, by the end of this month, my NMJ Rescue Air 786 ambulance service will be up and running. And then the last, before Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala takes me from dunya, I have made up my mind, I want to open a fully-fledged Islamic hospital. That is the only thing that will be left. Then I go to Madina Munawar. I'm not coming back to the country, Shuman.
Ahmad, hey, we need you here. You come and do your work. Don't take a shortcut now and go straight to heaven. You still work in the dunya. Ahmad, we'll meet you soon. We'll talk to you soon. Brilliant indeed. Have a mashallah beautiful day ahead. And Allah keep you. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.
Wa alaikum salam wa rahmatullah.
Marcus Sahaba, the voice of Ahl Sunnah wal Jama'ah.